Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Welcome back. So we're just going to dive right into spiritual warfare, because in my prior story that I shared on the last episode, I talked about why I was afraid of the universe. That whole story is, I was quite vulnerable. Oh my God, this is the worst word ever. Vulnerable. And I expressed a lot about where I was and some of my sentiments around my soul story, because it's very dark and it's heavy. And I think you guys should listen to that, because there's something in there for everyone. So please do listen to that episode before diving into this one, or not. You know, that's up to you, obviously. But it does set up the conversation, because essentially what I've experienced in a lot of my prior incarnations is spiritual warfare. And we did also talk about ascension. What we didn't talk about is the spiritual battle that's taking place, not only like with the wars happening in the physical realm, but also energetically. And that this has been going on for a very, very long time. So we're kind of at that precipice where it's like, okay, are we going to tilt towards something better for ourselves collectively or not? Like, where are we going to go? So we wanted to talk about that a little bit, because even in this particular topic, in regards to spiritual warfare, there's still something in this for everyone.
There absolutely is. Anyone who is on the spiritual journey right now, not even within yourself, but if, I mean, everyone's talking about ascension, personal ascension, 5D, new earth, the Schumann resonance, like the frequencies and the graphs and light beams and, you know, getting downloads and DNA changing. All of that stuff is like what I guess you could say light is using to try to awaken people. And on the flip side of that, we have the cabal. That's what Tiara and I call them, who, you know, kind of control, like all the cabal are highly influential people. They have the money to control the masses. They're the top 1%, and you know, they have ways to spread their messages through music and throughout their companies and logos and symbols. And most of the time, we don't even know that any of this stuff is out there. Like, we don't know that it's affecting us. We don't know that it's all part of a grander scheme. And this is why we want to talk about spiritual warfare.
You know, I'm always referencing the Ascension Glossary. Yeah. Because on there, it talks about all these different, I mean, I guess technically they're spiritual wars. Some of them are like extraterrestrial wars. But according to this glossary, a lot of these wars have had some type of influence or effect on humanity. I just think it's interesting, because when you start digging into some of these things, it's so fascinating. And it makes sense in regards to how the planet was affected or may have been affected. So one of these wars, again, I am quoting directly from the Ascension Glossary. This is ascensionglossary.com. This one was called the Electric Wars. It says Electric Wars, like multiple wars, I suppose. And this was a race war over the first root race. And, oh my God, the way she says this is crazy. All right, I'm just going to skip that. Huge war broke out over the first root race, seeding on 7D future Earth Gaia. This is called the Electric Wars and the Hyperborean Holocaust. So this planet has actually been subject to several wars, and this is going to get a little technical and complex, but we do know that we exist on multiple timelines. That means that there are also multiple Earth timelines, and allegedly different things have happened to Earth depending on the timeline. So I'm sure some of you guys are familiar with the creation story of the planet. It's the one in the Bible, and it's the one that I think is most recognized across multiple cultures and belief systems. Particularly what I'm talking about is how humans were seeded here by another higher species for a specific purpose, and then said higher species intervened in this creation. DNA got involved and intermixed, and then there was a war from there. So from there, I think we have just sort of seen different, this particular war play out in different ways to now what we see as a spiritual war between light and dark. So it's interesting. It's almost like there's always been some type of conflict between light and dark. Like even in the universe, it seems to have just always been that way.
That's really interesting.
Which I also find fascinating.
That is really interesting. And I know you talked about this in the previous episode. I don't remember which one. But there was another form of technology that we reference for psychic attacks. Do you remember what that technology is called?
Okay, so this information came from the Ascension Glossary, but you can find this information elsewhere. And the theory is that the Cabal is in cahoots with other dark species and dark races, and they use exotic technology that affects auras, human auras. And gosh, there was a name for it that I had used in regards to this technology. I talk about how I had one of the members of my soul family look and explore my aura for this exotic technology, and he spotted it. And it looks, to him, he said that it looked like a really black, dark octopus or spider. And it's interesting because if you talk to people who clear auras or who can see energies that affect or afflict auras, they will describe the exact same thing. Like seeing these like creatures, and they're dark, or like just the blackest black, and they seed energy off of the aura or affect the mental body in some kind of way. And this is stuff that's been employed en masse to many people on the planet, and it is very difficult to, again, if you're not aware of these things, or perhaps you don't have the ability to see auras or see what might be afflicting an aura, it's very difficult to clear these things. So I think that the Cabal has employed this stuff for so long and so effectively that it's affecting so many people, that I think it's negatively influencing a lot of people. What it mostly does is it makes it difficult for you to ascend, essentially. Like it kind of exacerbates some of the negative emotions, negative feelings, makes it difficult to like really explore the deeper wounding, like it manipulates the mind, like that kind of thing. Very, very fascinating stuff. I'm not trying to freak anybody out. Again, this is just information I found online. And when I first found it, it resonated. And I have an experience to back it up.
That experience was so crazy. I don't even remember what took you down that rabbit hole. I don't even remember what led you there. Was the entity just hanging out in your aura and he was like, hey, I noticed something that's not right? Or were you feeling something and you were like, hey, can
something.
You go check my aura?
Yeah, I was feeling like, I felt like energetic attacks, like I would be fine, you know, and then I wasn't fine. And I was just like, it's really strange how my energy is ebbing and flowing so haphazardly and randomly like this. And so I was like, I had remember reading about that, and I was like, hey, can you check my aura and see if you see anything weird? And I remember he was like, well, what am I looking for? And I was like, I don't know, just something. So he scans and he told me that he saw this black thing that looked like an octopus or a spider. I did a energetic clearing, which usually involves me just like reaching out for God or like talking to God and trying to like tap into some of his energy. And I did that. And then I said to him again, okay, is this thing still here? And he was like, I remember his reaction was like really surprised. He was like, oh my gosh, it's in pieces. And I was like, oh my God. So there's something to this. I don't, beyond my experience, I don't have like proof or evidence that, you know, obviously that this is a real thing. It's just in theory, I think that this stuff exists and I think it affects people.
That story blew my mind. And I remember after you told me that story, I was like, oh, maybe I should have my aura scan. And he tried and he was like, I can't even get close enough to your aura.
Yeah, like yours wasn't readable to him. He said that it was like blurry.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, I still don't know. To this day, I still don't know what that is about.
Okay, I have some information about some of this stuff. Again, this is coming directly from the Ascension Glossary. The lady who wrote this likes to use big words that sound like gobbledygook, so I'm going to do my best to like make it make sense to you guys. So she talks about something called AI parasites, and she says that these are aggressive artificial intelligence parasites that invade the central nervous system to monitor a person's thought patterns so they can mimic them. They monitor thought patterns and emotional behaviors and search for weaknesses within the human host body so they can aggressively use that weakness against the person to plummet them into very low frequency thoughts. So that's one of them. This one, she says, it's tied to a conspiracy that, well, I guess at this point, it's not really a conspiracy. Years and years ago, the whole chemtrails and spraying chemtrails thing in the sky was a total conspiracy, right? Like if you were a conspiracy nut and you wore aluminum hats, you may have heard about spraying chemtrails. And it was like this whole scandal that, you know, the government is doing it to try to control humanity. So there might be some truth to this based on what this says. So this one here is called alien implants. She says, it works in the human body similarly to the chemical process of geoengineering that is spraying chemtrails in the skies to manipulate or control forces in physical matter. The construction and raw substances used in alien implants are vast and some are unknown. They can be biological, synthetic, etheric, in the light body, or programmed nanobots used in artificial intelligence technologies. Alien implants are a form of bioengineering technology designed to shape the human body into the mind control submissions. Also very, very interesting.
I have all these questions about where they got all this technology.
That's a good question. I mean, you know, if we're talking about like these species that aren't necessarily human, they could have access to God knows what.
No, that's true. It's just so crazy. The Ascension Glossary is very difficult to navigate, and her reading is hard to get through sometimes. I'm just like, why do you have to use all these big words?
I know. I'm just like, I don't know what half of these words mean, but you're Same. Using them. Do you know what half of these words mean?
But I am just so fascinated with the information, where the information came from, how she got the information, and certain things, not everything, but there's a lot of things in there for me personally, and I know on Tiara's end, like, that things resonate, and it's just yeah. like, where, how long, like, I have all these questions.
Oh my gosh, I have so many questions, and most of these questions are on our channeling list, which I think at this point might have like 80 to 100 questions that we need to have answered through channeling. But Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate that the way she writes it, it only opens up more questions, because she's like, oh, okay, well, you know, here's this information. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Now I have more questions.
Exactly. And it's one of the most frustrating things reading it, because I'm just like, well, wait a second, what about X, Y, and Z? And then obviously, like, we're not in physical contact with her, so we can't ask. And it's just like, I know. Oh, I want to know more.
So this, she references artificial intelligence a lot here. And I'm under the impression that artificial intelligence technology is something that most advanced species have probably had for a very long time. We as humans are just now getting into a lot of that more advanced artificial intelligence. But she talks about something called transhumanism. And I think this is fascinating, because it talks about how it relates to artificial intelligence and where we might be going as a species. So I'm just going to read briefly what it says. Transhumanism is a school of thought that seeks to guide us towards a post-human condition. Essentially, this is about creating artificial intelligent hybrids or cyborgs to replace the organic spiritual consciousness of humans. Some examples are redesigning the human organism using advanced nanotechnology or radical technological enhancements. Some of the proposed biological enhancements are using some combination of technologies such as genetic engineering for psychopharmacology, life extension therapies, neural interfaces, hello Elon Musk, brain mapping, wearable or implanted computers.
Oh, I like the Elon Musk bit.
Right. Because he's about, you know, the whole neural interface stuff, which obviously he seems to have, you know, best and highest good intentions, at least on the outset when it comes to some of this stuff. But I could see where that could take us as a society, and it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Most of the top 1% give me the heebie-jeebies.
Well, yeah, and for good reason, because they're freaking weird and dark and ugly.
Well said. Well said. That is all really, like, it. I am not tech savvy, so a lot of what she just read went completely over my head. So I apologize if it also goes over your head.
Sorry about that. I'm a total nerd, so all this stuff, like, you know, gives me a girl boner. But if there's anything I can clarify, or if you guys have any particular questions around these topics, like, you can definitely ask me, because I've got a lot of feedback. With that said, is there anything I can clarify?
Well, no, because you can't answer more questions that I have, right?
Right. Well, it depends on what your question is.
No, I have more questions to the information that you just read. Like, I want further explanation.
Oh, yeah. You know, I am fascinated with the whole concept of nanorobotics. Okay, we're going into nerd realm. I'll try to, you know,
I don't even know what that is. Like, I love TR, but, like, sometimes when we're talking, I'm just, like, she is so deep into, like, science and technology and medical, and I'm just looking at her like, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so.
But I'm a nerd in my own right, and I have my nerdy ways, too. Just different topics.
Right. Okay. So, at the most basic level, nanorobotics are machines that are at or close to the scale of a nanometer, which is very, 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 very tiny. Super, super, super tiny. You'd never be able to see it even on a table. It's more or less meant to be small enough so that it can be injected through a syringe. So she talks about this too, and she says that it is an emerging technology created field that is meant to, I guess, at some point employ artificial intelligence, and that many of these technologies are actually already being used in some type of secret space program, which is a whole other conspiracy.
Do you believe that to be true?
Yes. I think that there is a secret space program, and I think that they're doing things that we have no idea about. Stuff that is so science fiction that it would blow our brains up.
I wouldn't be that surprised by it because of how many, like, secrets the governments hold. And, like, I mean, isn't it, like, the governments who control Area 51? And, like, there's all these, like, hidden and secret, like, agencies or bunkers. And, like, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of hidden shit all around the world that, you know, the general public aren't privy to and don't know much about. And so, I mean, all of this stuff wouldn't surprise me either.
Right. It doesn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. And gosh, there is no freaking telling some of the stuff that they're doing.
It's actually scary, so I don't really put a whole lot of thought into it.
Right.
Well, I mean, the top 1% have all of, you know, they have the money, they have the manpower, they have the influence. So it's like, God knows really what they're up to.
Well, depending on the conspiracy, they're planning pandemics. They're trying to keep us all sick. They're telling us that there's a population crisis, but also doing everything that they can to make sure that we can't afford to reproduce, which makes no freaking sense, but okay. They're influencing us through the media, trying to keep us in fear. And all of this is still spiritual warfare.
I don't think a lot of people will put two and two together, but yeah, it's the inflation, the burnout that you're experiencing, like everything. It's all tied to keeping people in the lower vibrational state, keeping people, keeping people not working out of the lower three chakras or functioning out of the lower three chakras. That's the word I was looking for. And when you are so focused on the lower three chakras, and if they're in balance, like, your life is going to be chaos.
Right. Absolute chaos. And it makes sense that they would want to keep people in those low vibrations, right? Because it is from that state that they can control you. When you're in a state of fear, when you feel disillusioned or disempowered, or you feel like there's nothing you can do, that's when they have the most control.
Right. And then going back to our chakra episode when we were talking about the chakras, didn't you say, like, your limiting beliefs around money, I believe, come from the root chakra, which is the first chakra. It's the one closest to the ground, and that one is, if you have fear there, that is going to be a really hard chakra, like, because the way that the kundalini works is that typically the kundalini will rise up through the chakras. So if you cannot figure out how to, like, balance out your red chakra, the root chakra, it's going to be really difficult. It's going to be really difficult for that kundalini to rise.
Right, right. And that's the chakra that they manipulate the most, in my opinion. Like, that's the one they're going after, is the root chakra. Making you feel like you can't afford anything. Making you feel like, you know, you have to work 2 to 3 jobs. Keeping you in debt. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, because when you get into the upper chakras, which is, you know, that's when perspectives change. That's when you see things in a different light. That's when you really start to question everything that you've been taught. And obviously they want to keep the masses not doing that. They don't want people to be enlightened. They don't want people to ascend out of their lower chakras. And that's why spiritual warfare exists. That's why they're going to great lengths and great efforts to keep us functioning out of our lower three chakras.
You know, it's interesting because I guess I was a little fortunate. I had an awakening that was a top-down awakening Because if it had attempted to rise, like from bottom up or from the root chakra up, I don't think I would have had an awakening in the way that I did. So there are different types of awakenings. You can have from the root chakra up or from the crown chakra down. I call them top down, bottom up awakenings. But I think what's more common is like from the bottom up. And so that's why they put in the effort that they do to afflict the populace in the manner that they have. And it is hard to overcome that. Like, I'm not going to lie. That is so, so hard to overcome. And that's why it's so important that we start shifting towards things like community, because I think that we as a species are better as a group than we are separated and as individuals. And I think one of the reasons why we are in the state that we are, again, not just because of the manipulation that we're subject to, but also because we have lost our sense of community. And that affects people. It affects your psyche. It keeps you feeling distant and alone and lonely. And these are all, again, going to keep you in a low vibrational state. So that's why I'm such a big proponent of like conscious communities and communal living, you know, up to points, and that kind of thing. Because I think we need to get back to that.
Well, I mean, there's been many studies shown that like we as species, we are not meant to be isolated. Like, right. We are very community-based beings. Like, human beings are not meant for isolation. We are meant for community. I mean, if you go back and look at history, not saying that, you know, way back when they had, you know, doctors and technology and all that things to prolong our lives, but those people were a lot happier because they had each other's backs. You knew that like someone was always going to show up for you. You guys hunted together. They cooked together. They gave people a sense of meaning versus nowadays, especially after the pandemic, where a lot of us are just sitting at home, scrolling on TikTok, lying in bed all day. I think they call it bed rotting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is not good for our psyche. It's not good for our emotional health. It's not good for our mental health. And it's just so interesting how they've isolated us and how they have absolutely destroyed our self-worth, our self-confidence. They have made people uncomfortable to socialize and be outside, and because the earth is also extremely healing. And so those people had to live off the land. They were connected to the earth. They could channel the earth. And yes. Now it's just like, you know, everything's done for us. We have our electricity, we have our running water. It's like, why do we even need to go outside? When nature and outside has such amazing healing properties, but they keep destroying our land and building more buildings.
Right. It's almost like it's orchestrated and planned to keep us separated from nature, separated from ourselves, separated from community. None of this stuff is a coincidence. All of this is completely intentional. We just have to get to a place where we say, okay, this isn't how I want to live anymore. And I think more and more people are getting there, slowly but surely, but I really wish that more of us would en masse.
I wish that too, because this is not like us as species. This is not how we were meant to live.
It's not. And, you know, I've noticed that this whole like destruction of community isn't just a Western thing, because I was watching a documentary about some of this taking place in Japan and how there is this group of people who go to different apartments to look for. This might be TMI, this might be graphic, so if you don't want to hear about something really sad and something involving death, please skip over this. But they go around looking for old people who have died because they're so distanced and separated from their family and community that when they die, no one knows. And I thought it was so sad. So sad. And it was crazy because I was thinking about how we have lost that sense of community. And one of the guys I interviewed said, I kid you not, verbatim, this is the result of losing our communities. And it just kind of struck me. And, you know, I never forgot that.
I will say that's one positive thing about growing up in a dinky small town. It, in a way, it really was a community. Like, everyone knew everyone. I wish everyone didn't know everyone, but everyone knew everyone. And, well, I mean, pros and cons to dinky small towns. And when I say small town, like, I'm talking like 1,000 people. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's not a lot.
That's not a lot of people. Everyone knows everyone. Everyone's up in your business. But I'd say that the pro of that is that, you know, if someone passed, everyone would know, and everyone would be dropping by and dropping off food, and, you know, like, everyone would be informed. But on the flip side of that, it also becomes very gossipy, and that's the part I didn't like.
Right. Very, very gossipy. That's how it was when I used to go to church. Like, people didn't go to church to praise God. They went to church to talk about everybody else that was at church.
Right. See, that's my point exactly. So pros and cons to communities, but I'm just saying, like, that sense of, you know, if when someone did pass, everyone knew, and everyone would be dropping by and giving the condolences and dropping off food. And I mean, who even does that anymore?
Right? That's what I mean. And that's what community is. That's why we need to get back to that, is because it wasn't just about like living together communally. It was about checking in on each other and making sure everyone was okay, and that, you know, you had a team there of people that wanted to support you and help you and uplift you. And that's what we need. And, you know, I really hope that we can over time get back to that.
I would love if we could, but I'm not confident it will go in that direction.
I know, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you look at, I kind of call them dying cities. San Francisco is a really good example of this. Like, I was talking to someone not that long ago, like a few months ago, who said, all of those high rises in San Francisco, like, all those offices are empty. Like,
all
business, like, businesses are shutting down. It's just everything that made San Francisco so great, like, 10 years ago when I lived there, that doesn't exist anymore, because, like, crime is up, inflation, more homeless. And I'm just like, well, all these empty buildings are just sitting there, like, rotting. And I'm just like, how is that okay? It's like, there, you guys could be working on solving the homeless problem, or you guys could be working on, but here's what the crazy part. Instead of fixing the problems that they already had, they continue to build high rises. And I'm just like,
right.
You can't even fill the ones that you have now. And that is happening in all the cities. It's happening in Toronto. It's happening in New York City. It's happening in San Francisco. It's even starting to happen in Austin. And I'm just like, why do we keep building when we can't even fill the offices that we have now?
Yeah, that's a phenomenon I've never understood, because they did that in China. Like, I don't know if you've heard about the giant empty cities in China that are like blocks and blocks of, that are blocks and blocks of skyscrapers, but they're all empty. Blocks and blocks and blocks of these giant, beautiful high rises that no one lives in that exist there. And I'm just like, whoa, why are we building these? First off, China has a terrible homeless problem and a lot of people that live in like cages. So I feel like, you know, that could go a long way as far as alleviating that issue, but that's not being addressed. But the bigger question is, well, why do this? Like, why are they creating these giant buildings and leaving them like that to just, you know, fall apart and languish?
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
I'm not understanding the logic behind it, because looking at it from an economical standpoint, I'm just like, how does it serve you to have all these empty buildings? Like, how does it serve you to have more crime out on the streets? How does it serve you that, you know, the you guys keep complaining about the population, but because you keep pushing more people out on the street, it's actually it's taking more people out of the workforce. So everything that they're preaching to us, none of it makes sense.
None of it. And it's so confusing and nothing makes sense. And so that's why sometimes it's better to just go inward. And I think more of us need to do that more consistently. I thought that during COVID, that's what everyone was doing, but
no, I don't even know where. Tiara gets these ideas sometimes and I'm like, where'd you get that idea? And second of all, like, what even made you get that idea?
Well, okay, because COVID was like the big great pause, right? And I thought that the prevailing thought was that, okay, well, you have nothing to do, so work on you. But clearly no one did that. So, you know, it is what it is.
No, everyone was taking their stimulus checks and everyone was like lounging out being like, finally, the break I deserve.
Right. Well, I can't lie because I did a lot of that too. I think I gained like 10 pounds because Grubhub, that's when like Grubhub and what's the other one? DoorDash. And like those all exploded because, you know, obviously you couldn't go to the restaurants. So everyone was just ordering takeout and getting food delivered. And yeah, we all kind of just vegged out, which was actually a nice break. I'm not going to lie, because it was nice to not have to go into the office every single day and sit in traffic. I did enjoy that.
I think a lot of people enjoyed that. People loved working from home. And then all these studies came out saying your workers are actually being more productive working at home through COVID than they ever were in the office. So I find it really interesting that, like, as of last year, they started demanding everybody else to go back to the office.
Oh, yes.
When they were more productive at home. But I understand why they wanted them back in the office, because all that empty office space was also costing the company money. Right. So I get that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was from that when they started, well, I think this was a couple of years ago, when we started to see like that big revolution with quiet quitting and people wanting more from their jobs and people being dissatisfied with the hustle culture. I think that also came out of COVID because people got a sense of what it was like to not have to hustle into the office every single day. And I think it gave people perspective and they were like, well, wait a minute, I can still be productive like this. Why have I been doing what I've been doing for 10, 15, 20 years?
Right. And that's part of the awakening too, right? I think companies also saw the effects of people were awakening and they were like, oh shit, we have to reel this back in. How do we do that?
Yeah, exactly. They're so sneaky.
Like, it's all tied together. It's all linked together. It's all connected into their evil plan. They're like, okay. And it's kind of like all experiments, right? The last pandemic was the Spanish flu, like 100 years ago. And we just cycled into another pandemic. And I think that there was a ton of experiments done. Like, what happens if we close the borders? What happens if we don't let them go to work? What happens if we tell them that they can't leave their house? Like, how many will listen? Who will take this vaccine? It was basically, in my personal opinion, one huge human experiment across the globe.
Yeah, you mentioned that before, and I never thought of it like that, but it makes total sense that it was just a huge human experiment and that they got what they wanted from it. So now we'll probably see stuff like this happen at every single pandemic or plandemic, as I like to call them, because I think it's a conspiracy.
Well, I think the secret is out that it is a conspiracy. I think more and more people are finally catching on. Like, I mean, anyone who has even looked into the teeniest bit of research about vaccines, it takes them years to perfect a vaccine. And they were pumping them out after like 6-7 months of the pandemic. And they were demanding everyone get the jab.
Right, which was like so suspicious to so many people. And people pushed back hard on that. I remember that. But the people who pushed back also got heavily ostracized. So it's so unfortunate that, you know, they did that to people. But no, like the whole vaccine thing was, I had mixed feelings about it because I was like, all right, well, I want to do what's for the best and highest. But at the same time, like, I don't know what's in that thing. Like, you threw that together in 10 minutes. So I did get the first one, but full disclosure, I have not gotten any vaccines since.
Yeah, I haven't.
And
either.
That was just for me. Like,
and I'm not going to. And the next plandemic, I'm not getting the jab.
Right. Same. So, right. I mean, I think the people that were ostracized the most had every right to feel the way that they did in regards to feeling suspicious about something that was concocted so quickly with little to no research.
All right. And I think it was just, I think all of this is just experiment on the people and the top 1% seeing how can we control the masses and will the masses follow?
Yeah, exactly.
And at the end of the day, it is all very sickening.
It is very sickening. Every time we talk about like spiritual warfare or the cabal, I just like my mood shifts and then I'm just like, I don't like them.
As you shouldn't.
Yeah. So in regards to, sorry, go ahead.
Nope. Go.
Well, I mean, we're over here talking about spiritual warfare and I'm just trying to get a sense of how can people navigate this war? You know, like, I know a big component of spiritual warfare is what I went through. And in regards to having entities deceive me, lie to me, pretend to be someone they're not, I know that this is something that if you're a channeler or, you know, you can talk to entities and beings, I know that this is something that some of you might be concerned about because that is happening on a broader scale than I think most of us realize, that there are entities, regardless of whether they're claiming to be a deceased loved one or an angel or an extraterrestrial or, you know, a guide, there are entities that pretend to be something they're not, feed you information, and then might say things like, hey, go spread this message to the world. This is for the best and highest of everyone. And so it gets difficult because now you're placed in this position where you're like, well, now I need to practice discretion, but these entities can present themselves as someone they're not. How do I navigate this? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not quite sure what the answer is to that. I'm not all seeing and all knowing. I can't always tell who these beings are. I've implemented tools. But for the most part, if you're just receiving, if you're a channeler, for example, and you are just being told information that sounds great and, you know, feels nice, you have no idea whether that's true or not. So it ends up being a very tricky situation in regards to this warfare because these entities are doing this maliciously. They're doing it on purpose. They're doing it because they're trying to deceive en masse. They have an agenda. How do you navigate that? I honestly don't fully know the answer. I would just say try to lean on practicing discretion, whether that means using your intuition or using divination to check the energy or using like passcodes or passphrases, particularly if it's an energy that's coming around often. There are some things you can do, but I share this because I think it's something that you guys should be wary of. Again, if you're a channeler, if you're able to connect to energies and entities and communicate to them in that manner, you do need to work on practicing discretion. It's really, really important right now that you don't take anything for face value.
I can't say that you're wrong because you're certainly not, but also what this comes down to is that you guys really need to trust yourselves. And that's why it's really important to connect to your intuition, because your intuition should, it should be guiding you. Like, I've been able to pick up a lot of the deception just in regards to Tiara's story because something inside of me is saying, that's not right. They're lying. And then I will do my investigation further and I will say, most of the time, I end up right.
Yes. Again, my situation is very unusual, more unusual than most. I don't think you guys, well, I can't say that because there are others who have been deceived pretty heavily as well. But for the most part, your intuition should lead you in the proper direction. My intuition was tied to original soul, so I struggled. But for most of you guys, that would never, ever be the case. So Allie's right. Like, lean on your intuition. It'll, well, you know, I always say it'll never stray you in the wrong direction. For the most part, it will never steer you wrong.
It shouldn't steer you wrong. But, I think we talked about this in a previous episode, so I'm not going to touch on it too heavily here. I do think that between the conscious mind and your intuition, communication gets lost in translation.
Yes, definitely.
And I think that's a big part of it. However, no one else is going to know your truth. No one else is going to know what you're feeling inside. So that's why it's really important that you rely on the feeling, the interaction, the energy, and relying on your intuition. And that's why I'm saying your intuition shouldn't steer you wrong, because it is really important to build the relationship that you have with yourself.
Definitely.
Because without that, you are just another follower, right? Like, you're just someone seeking for answers. And if it sounds great, then you want to grasp onto that. And we see this a lot, unfortunately, but we see this a lot in the new age or spiritual community where people are just like, well, this person said yes, and, you know, it must be true. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not saying that it's not true, but how does it feel to you? What are you telling yourself? Like, what is your intuition telling you? That's all I care about. Like, I don't really care, like, where you get your information or whether or not you even believe any of the information Tiara and I are saying. I just care about how it feels with you, how it resonates with you. What is your intuition telling you? Because there is going to be no greater ally than yourself.
Absolutely.
But to Tiara's point, energies do lie. Energies are very good at masking themselves. Energies are really, I mean, if you're connecting to an energy and if it's just like, oh, you know, I'm a deceased loved one or I'm an archangel or I'm this, like, you don't really know. Like, they can mask their aura. Like, they have the technology and the ability to mask their aura. It can feel really similar to an energy that you're familiar with. We have experiences with someone in our life. It doesn't matter how many times we tell this person that energy is not that energy. It's like, well, it feels right to me. So it happens. We know someone who this is happening to. And so far, we haven't been able to deter him. But that doesn't mean that we've given up.
Right. Right. So it's messy out there, guys. There's a lot going on energetically, also in the physical. I know a lot of you guys are probably feeling it. And I feel like a lot of you guys are kind of at this place where it's like, man, I think we're at a precipice. Like, something's going to happen. Something big's going to happen. I just don't know what it is. I don't know when it's going to happen, but something's going to happen. Who knows what that is in 3D, but in the energetic 5D realm, I think that's a spiritual warfare. And I think we're at that precipice where it's like, are we going to tilt into ascension? And are we going to do it in mass? And we're ascending, but we're not quite doing it on the mass scale that I think would be fabulous. But I still have faith.
I think people are tuning into the energy. I had a conversation with someone last night who claimed she was an atheist, but she loves getting Reiki done. And she was just like, yeah, she's like, I don't know what it is about Reiki, but like, it just, I can feel it when it's happening and it makes me feel lighter and I'm connecting to the energy. And I'm just like, that's all really interesting considering the fact you just said you're an atheist. So I think like she is a good example of like, she's starting to feel energy. She might not be able to know exactly what it is or where it's coming from or why she's feeling it.
Yeah.
But I mean, to go from like that atheist mindset to not believing in anything to, you know, I was open enough to explore Reiki and it makes me feel a certain way.
I did that. I started off as a Christian and then went atheist, then became an agnostic. I think I went back to atheism and then I settled on spirituality. And then I decided I believe in God and I'm also spiritual, but I don't care for a religion. And then went to, okay, well, I know some of the stuff the Bible says is true. I believe in God. I'm spiritual. I believe some of the stuff the Bible says, but I do not like go to church. Which can happen. You can be like, you know, pick and support and believe certain religious things, but not necessarily be religious in that way. That's a real thing.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was like really loaded.
Wait, why was it loaded? I was just trying to be thorough.
No, it's still loaded though. I mean, mine is pretty simple. Like, I didn't grow up in a religious household. We were free to believe what we wanted to believe in. However, my mother would have conversations with me about a higher power, higher than God, because I don't really believe in God. But a higher power, laws of attraction, manifestation. And so, because I remember I asked my mom, who I knew like was Catholic at the time because she went to Catholic school. And I said, like, do you believe in God? And she was like, no. However, I do believe in a higher power. And then I had asked her, well, what does that mean? And then when she explained it to me, I was like, you know what? That resonates with me. And
well,
so
that's what I mean. When I say God, I mean higher power. Like, I don't mean God like of the Bible where there's like this white guy sitting on a cloud with a long beard. I just mean source to me is God. Like higher power is God. Like I kind of look at it the same. Does that make sense?
Sure. It's just, I think when people hear the word God, I think they think of the guy sitting in the clouds.
Right, right.
And that's what I'm saying. Like me personally, like I don't believe in God. I've never really believed in God, but I do believe in the power of the universe, which I don't refer to as God, as TR does. So I'm just saying, like, I think spirituality and religion get very crisscrossed. I think
they do.
When I was having that conversation with that woman yesterday, I was just like, you can be a spiritual person and not believe in God. And she was like, wait, what? And I was just like, I don't have the mental capacity to go like deep into this conversation. But I gave her like a few blips and she was like, you want to know what? I think that makes sense.
Hmm.
So it, yeah, religion, spirituality, new age, I understand why they get intertwined, but they are very different.
They are. They are different, but like I see how they intertwine as well. So yeah, I mean, you know, ultimately what you believe in, that's up to what feels right for you. That's up to what resonates to you. You know, Allie found what resonates to her, I found what resonates to me, and that works for us.
But the most important part is that, like, we're not here to judge. Like,
absolutely not.
Like, we're all very, you know, we all are individuals and we all have our own beliefs, and that's okay. I don't like to, it's hard for Tiara and I to talk about spirituality because like we don't want to feel like we're preaching, or we don't want to feel like we're pushing our beliefs on other people, because that can be a very off-putting thing, and I totally get it, because I wouldn't want someone pushing their beliefs on me.
Right.
And so it is like spirituality, although it's growing, the community is growing, it's just hard when people are leaving religion and coming into spirituality because they bring some of that religion beliefs in. And it's a tricky thing to navigate. You're not alone. You know what our intention are. You know what our intention is, which is we're not here to judge, and we're not here to push our beliefs on other people.
Absolutely not. So, you know, just find what resonates for you. And if that's what resonates, then that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Well, this was fun.
It was interesting.
It was, and I hope that you guys were able to extract some good wisdom and helpful tools for those who are navigating the spiritual journey and trying to make sense of the spiritual warfare. Well, I'm sure we're going to talk about this topic again at some point in the future. It's going to probably keep coming up, so just FYI. But thank you so much for tuning in, and the next, I think what we'll probably do is, over these next few weeks, you're going to start to hear more from the conspiracy side of our podcast, which I'm so excited about. So please stay tuned and check in and log in again.
The conspiracy thing, it might not be a whole series back to back. Just a warning. But the conspiracy theme will grow. So even if it's not back to back to back, there's definitely going to be conspiracy episodes show up throughout the show. And at some point, if we haven't already, you can edit that out if you need to. We're going to move into a season two. So I don't know when that's happening.
Yes, we will let you know when that transition begins. But yes, we're going to launch into a season two, and the topics might be slightly different. So we will definitely let you guys know.
Yes. But I just wanted to set the expectation with conspiracy. Even if like you see one or two go up and then, you know, we take a week off, like don't think that it's over. There's going to be more, because I wouldn't be surprised if this transitioned into a conspiracy podcast at some point.
You know what? That wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So thank you everyone for tuning in. I hope you all have a great week, and we have some exciting things coming up. As always, we are so excited to launch our community, and we will see you next week.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.